Hello. You're listening to Speaking of Urology, the official podcast for Urology Times. In keeping with our commitment to deliver urologists and allied health professionals expert clinical analysis, practice advice, and policy perspectives, each episode of Speaking of Urology will bring listeners timely and informative insights from leaders in the specialty to keep practitioners up to date while helping them practice more efficiently. I'm your host, Ben Saylor. This episode's guest is Kenton H. Steele, an attorney in the Columbus, Ohio office of Reminger LPA. Steele specializes in malpractice defense and insurance litigation. He is also a malpractice consult columnist for Urology Times. In this interview, Steele discusses the ways in which friendly prescribing can lead to medico-legal issues for providers. You can read Steele's column on this topic in the November 2020 issue of Urology Times.
Before we get started, one thing I want to make clear is that anything that I have to say shouldn't be taken as hard and fast legal advice. Every situation is, of course, going to be a little bit different, and the regulations and laws in each jurisdiction are different. So if you have questions, please go to your attorney with those questions, and they should be able to clear up any issues that you're having.
What are the medical legal risks of providing a friendly prescription?
There are a couple of different risks. I think if you look at the literature related to friendly prescribing, what you're going to find is that when a prescription is written without the normal workup that's attendant to a typical patient encounter, there's an increased risk of a negative health outcome. Of course, a negative health outcome is kind of the necessary precursor to a malpractice lawsuit. So anytime you're increasing the chance of someone suffering an injury, there's a corresponding chance of a lawsuit being filed. In one of the hypotheticals set out in the column that I addressed, it involved a nurse in a practitioner's office requesting a refill for high blood pressure medication, which seems like a very innocuous thing. And it's coming from a nurse who's also, has some level of competency in the medical field. And the thing to keep in mind that makes this, not as innocuous as it seems, is that while the nurse is using the word refill, she's actually out of refills and the request is for a new prescription. If that new prescription is issued, that doctor's name will be the only name on it, and he or she will be responsible for anything, any problems that arise related to that prescription. And it's easy to see the problem here is that in the absence of a medical examination, in the absence of taking some history, the doctor would really have no way of knowing if that prescription is still controlling the high blood pressure problem. So that minor request could lead to a big issue. The kind of flip side to that is the risk isn't only on the prescribing side, there's also a risk for the patient. And it's not just that the medication will be wrong, but it's also that there will be a gap in the record of that treatment. So down the line, if another doctor is reviewing that person's history and making decisions about their care, if there's no record of other prescriptions that were written, that knowledge gap could create its own problems.
Why might a malpractice suit filed as a result of an informal prescription-related adverse outcome not be covered by malpractice insurance?
The issue here is that malpractice insurance, each policy is a little bit different. And the scope of what is covered is going to be different. So it's important to know what is in your actual malpractice policy. In the column, I discussed a very tragic story that I think represents sort of a worst case scenario for friendly prescribing, in which a nurse approached an ER doctor with whom she worked and requested a prescription for Zoloft for her husband, who was having some significant problems with depression. The doctor wrote the prescription for 30 days of Zoloft, without having seen the nurse's husband, on the reasoning that that would give him enough time to see a psychiatrist and follow up and get another prescription. Well, tragically, 2 weeks later, the nurse's husband ended his own life. And subsequently, the nurse filed a lawsuit against that doctor. And ultimately, the doctor's insurance carrier refused to provide coverage for the suit. Now, the reasoning is very simple in this case. It's because the husband wasn't a patient of the doctor. He'd never examined him, never met him, had no idea what his health history was. And that's just not something that's going to be covered in your typical malpractice policy. So the issue is really making sure that any prescription that a practitioner writes is within the practice that's covered by their policy. Things that may be excluded, psych medications, anything that is not something that is routinely addressed in that physician's practice.
Beyond adverse health outcomes, what other problems can arise from friendly prescribing?
There are, of course, multiple things. If a prescription is written in response to an informal request, there's always a possibility that the issuance of that prescription could run afoul of state laws or regulations issued by the state's medical board. Now, there have been a lot of changes and sort of relaxing of those restrictions in light of the COVID-19 crisis to make it easier for prescriptions to be written without in-person examinations. But a lot of the restrictions that apply to controlled substances are still in effect. So in the column, I give the example of a neighbor asking for just 2 Valium for an upcoming flight to deal with the fear of flying. Now, that request certainly seems innocent, and any request that is of a similar nature likely would be completely innocent. But unless the proper steps are taken, the right boxes are checked regarding an in-person evaluation, that could be a violation of a regulation that would subject the prescriber to an investigation, a reprimand, a suspension, or worse from the state's medical board. And in some instances could actually be a crime. Kind of looping that back around to the insurance issue, most, if not all, insurance policies in the malpractice context exclude coverage for anything that's a crime. So that would be a very quick and easy way for the insurance company to deny coverage if a problem arose related to that prescription. One other important thing to note is something doesn't have to go wrong for it to cause a headache for the prescriber. Even in the absence of an adverse outcome, just merely writing the prescription could still subject the prescriber to all the problems we talked about.
What are some best practices for urologists when presented with requests for informal prescriptions?
Of course, the easiest answer is don't grant requests for informal prescriptions. While, you know, that's the most surefire way to avoid problems, but it's, of course, a little unrealistic. I'm sure, much like many physicians, as an attorney, I receive a lot of requests for legal advice. And while the best answer is always you should find an attorney to talk to about that, it's not always possible or appropriate to do that given societal and social pressures. It's unrealistic to take a stance that I'll never, ever, respond to these sort of informal requests for professional help. With that in mind, there are certain things that can be done to avoid or minimize the risks that we've talked about. The biggest one is to treat all requests as if they come from an actual patient. What that means is making sure that a health history is obtained, that there's some form of limited examination, and that there's a record of the encounter. The easiest way to describe this is if you receive an informal request and it's something you're willing to help out with, just I'm happy to help, but I need you to come by the office. The friendly part of the prescribing can be that you don't charge this person for that encounter, But it enables you to make sure that there is that record, that your bases are covered on the health history part, which will, again, minimize a lot of those risks. The one other important caveat is practitioners should identify medications that they won't prescribe. If it is something that is outside of that person's practice, they shouldn't prescribe it in an informal setting, in part because of the insurance issues we talked about before. In the beyond individual cases, the way that this would typically work is if a prescription or something, a procedure of some kind is done outside of what the practitioner represented was the scope of their practice when they applied for insurance, the insurance carrier may actually say, you've made a misrepresentation when you applied for insurance, and for that reason, your entire policy is void. So it's not just an issue of that one instance. It could cause problems for the entire practice.
Be sure to subscribe to Speaking of Urology on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps. And you can get the latest in urology news, practice management advice, and health policy updates by visiting www.urologytimes.com. Thank you for listening.